Okay, ready to start? Welcome to the second visiting lecture today. Joni Kettunen from Digia will be talking to us about XML in practice, XML in work. I guess you can say some words about yourself, but just a few words about general things. So this session will also be recorded for those who are attending in a distributed manner. And on Thursday, we have the last session for the XML course. It's the assignment discussion for the fourth assignment. And also, we can do a short course wrap-up with some question and answer session, if you like. And that will also be recorded just for if there are some general hints for the exam or so. But be there on Thursday. Okay, it's anyways a demo assignment session, you most likely will be there. But if you have any recommendations there to develop the course further, or any kind of feedback concerns you might have, we can then discuss there. But yeah, okay, Toni, I'll let you. Joni, sorry, I'll let you go on.
Thank you. I've been coding regularly, on a contract since 2001, and in past 10 years there'll be some XML development, and I've been coding this kind of stuff. So in the end there will be a little ad about new jobs at Digia, and there are some additional products at the each end if you want to have some. And let's get moving. What I would like to say about XML, it depends on what your title is in the company. So meaning differs. I'm personally software specialist and developing, and I want to know the details, how to make systems talk with each other. It might be electricity meter talking to adapter and whole system, or it could be something more higher level. If you are project manager or if you are a technology leader in your company, you need more general knowledge, but you have to know your product and what your product can do. So for the developer, XML is just another skill, like programming language. HTML is very similar to XML if you look at brackets and tags and so on. And SQL is how you get the information from the database. So there are other tools you need to know, and project manager uses another skill set. So you have to adjust your own view. XML is nice because it's used widely across the field, and depending on the year and new buzzwords, it's SOAP or XML or some variant. For Microsoft user interface design, it's XAML. And JSON is one variant with more detailed attributes defined. And depending on your task assignment, it's more or less important to know XML. I have colleagues who don't know much about it, I have came across and want to learn, so that's why I'm talking here. And here are some examples where I've used any XML variant or something similar to it. First one where I came across was electricity meter, where I really had to dig into the message. It was communicating with a program or the interface with web services, and the specifications were more or less sketchy. I had to debug what the real response was for my message, and we had some kind of beta version for the electricity meter, and the specification was well ahead, and we didn't get actual answers as we were supposed to, so that was learning task. Another where I used it, it was in library systems at front end. It was developed in Silverlight, and it's Silverlight is Microsoft technology, which is not so much updated anymore. And then again, I found myself stumbling in a Datix. It's a alert message standard for Finnish Liikennevirasto, where the for one example, if a truck or something like that falls down on a highway, you have to get the message across the system. First, you call some kind of service number, and from that number, they log in the message, and then the message is sent to the all systems like Fortex TV, police, on various websites, radio, and that's where Datix message is used. It has something like Datix 2.5 or something like that, the recent standard. And there are a lot of different XML standards for different messages. And then there's the VPF and Silverlight user interfaces where I've been working, and I'll be showing some tools where I've which I have experience with. And the first case, electricity meter. There's small Iskra at the top, and it was the same label or manufacturer for the meter I was tackling with, and it's the common meter in Finnish system. You have to get the data using either IP, GSM, or electricity grid, and then the message is sent to some kind of controlling system. And I was doing the web service interface, and let's get to the next slide. And I was trying to get the message across from meter to my reading software. And I noticed there's something hazy going on. Specification says something should come up, and nothing came. And then my boss asked, what's going on? You said this should be done by now. And I said, well, I don't know. And then we put message tracer in between and found out that the meter is sending something rubbish. Something that looks like XML you have seen on this course. Data maybe a little bit different. And then we noticed we need the latest version of the software, and we fixed the system. I wrote down the adapter with unit tests and so on. And here's the details and the steps I took to create it with my colleagues at the time. If you are thinking about at the higher level for the project management or the leader perspective, it's just some techniques specialists need to know, and you have to know which techniques your specialists can do. Can they do JSON? Can they do SOAP? I even recently have heard that there is ancient language COBOL used in some systems, and they are still running something that's been coded at the 70s or something. And another XML file which I came across looked something like this. And it was ugly. Actually, it was worse than this, because all the terms were a little bit longer than this, but the slide didn't go well with that. So there is redundancy. As you see, the catalog is used once here, and then it's repeated at every level. And in work life, it's not like at lectures. There's somebody who didn't take the lectures, and he implemented the interface or created the XML message. And when you go to the real world and you find out, ooh, there's something ugly going on, and you have to just deal with it. So that's why you should be doing the work in here and tell what's the right way to do it, not how it just works, but how it works and how you can maintain it, because maintaining ugly XML takes more space, it takes more time, and it makes people frustrated at the other end. So in my experience, good XML message is compact in size, and depending on the size, there's another value at the last line. It's always file size versus readability. And standards are in key role there. In electricity meter world, there are lots of standards which define field names, and there are thick manuals which explain what four-letter abbreviations actually mean. So you usually can't know what XML message is unless you know the standard. But when you use your own custom files or create your own interfaces, you can make the message easy to read, because when it's easy to read, your colleagues can easily apply that in their work. And when it's easy, it takes less time, and you save money, and customer is happy. And I think that's the key point, making everything look good in code. And one thing about the size at the technical level is using different variables. If you are sending data to smartphones, you can either use more tags and true false values, or you can do some kind of string like 101 and then parse that and define that it's true, false, true, or you can actually implement some kind of summing up operations with binary data and deliver just number 5 and then break it up at the other end to save space. It makes code more complex. And when you have narrow bandwidth, it might be more important to use less space than be more readable.
Can you maybe say how you fixed that library problem that with the
ugly
repetition? So how far was the, or how deep was the problem?
Problem was at the other end, so I couldn't do anything about it. It was we were receiving the ugly message, and we were trying to trace who was sending it, and it was third partner, so we didn't have any contract with them, so we had no choice but bite our tongue and do the ugly work and pass it. Yeah. Usually, when there's bad implementation in XML, nobody fixes it. They just do another system after 5 years or so. So if there's redundancy or some, well, if it's like 5 megabytes, big chunk XML file, and you could do it in 500 KBs, so it would be less in size, faster and so on, they don't usually optimize it, because both ends should update their interfaces, and that costs money, and it's easier in management level to replace whole system than to do the little part again. So this is a little bit old, but a year ago I thought XML Spy was and is still one tool to use in XML editing. You need tool which sees that all the tags have counterparts and highlights is okay. And now there are dozens of tools which to use, and I usually use Visual Studio because I have that at my work. And actually, I don't have to use it to edit XML files usually, because I create them. I just give the data in, and the code creates the XML file. Or when I'm reading it in, I just say the JSON converter pass the JSON message, and I get the values from that. A little bit about VPF, which is Microsoft technology to use XAML, which is XML variant, to create user interface. And why to have that? It's a little bit close to web interfaces, where you can scale it up and down and put the elements in each slot. You can split it up in tables and then scale it up and down. And real-life example why VPF was used, it was in the Hattie system at Finnish Transportation Agency, Liikennevirasto. When they were starting with that program, it was year 2008, and they had small monitors, and people were like 40 years old. And now, 10, 15 years later, people are having little bad eyesight, and the monitor size is 30 inches. So the Windows Forms form is little tiny at the top corner, and the font is unreadable for those old eyes. So we had project to change the user interface to VPF, and in that you can scale the whole user interface with one variable. And one other good thing about it is if you change the window size, all the elements stretch where you want them to stretch. Old software is where everything is, old software can't scale up because the framework behind them is scaling the in Microsoft world according to the font size, and font size can't be scaled as easily as the whole window, because font size doesn't map with the pictures, and it doesn't map very well with the buttons. So this is the new way to do it. One downgrade is there is a little bit less functionality than the old forms world. And here's one detail about form, how complex the user interface can be. There are a lot of input fields. There can be all the basic functionalities, like checking if the phone number is valid or checking if some required fields in bolded here, if they are present, and so on. And here are the examples I've been talking about, which some are done with Silverlight and some with VPF. Library management system, which is actually the library management system used by the people at the library. There are different roles. That's made with Silverlight. And what we can see from Keskikirjastot, for example, or from Tampere, their library, it's just web interface. And the user interface is different. And that's made with Java, not with Silverlight. and XAML. And then, of course, Windows Phone apps can be made with XAML, but also with Windows Forms. Then I made 2 years that Finnish Transport Agency HATI project. It was all the layouts were redone to be able to scale up. And then there's the next version, TLOIC, which is actually on the phase 1.0 and will be starting somewhere in future. Tools to create user interface with XAML are Visual Studio and Blend. I'll be demoing them shortly, at least the Visual Studio. And why to use Visual Studio and Blend is Blend you can use to sketch rough user interface and then apply styles to make them make the same components used in actual work. And for project management view, that Blend is more usable than the Visual Studio because Visual Studio usually creates objects which look like ready product, and customers doesn't understand that you have just empty buttons and empty input fields without any functionality. But if they have some style with jagged edges and look a little bit unfinished, they understand that's just sketch view. And then that's difference between storyboarding and coding. The storyboards are usually the sketch views, and you can click the buttons and move between the views, but there's no actual functionality. And then the coding takes time. To help the coding process, you can either buy better Visual Studio version. At the university, you can get the ultimate version, or preview beta version can be get at Microsoft site. Or if you are running business and no money, you can use the community version, which is actually the professional version with some little downgrading. And here's the Visual Studio. I usually use a little bit bigger screen in pixel-wise, not in size. And let's look at the time. Yeah. The empty window is defined here in XAML. Here in the there are tags like in any XML file, which should be quite familiar. Just something begins and then something ends. And this empty window defines here some just header information, which is not that interesting. And then it tries to render instantly anything I write in here. So if I add label, with content, hi there, tries to render that. Yeah. But to make it more interesting, we have to make grid rows with row definitions. When you are designing user interface with XML, you need to tell the computer where to do and what. And then we need a few rows. Let's add, yep. I'm adding a few rows to get some data. I'm doing demo application like this. I tried at the work what happens if you are creating some string some values and dots in between, but in this demo application there are just question mark and dot, comma separated list, or something like that, to define how long it takes to do it in traditional for loop, and how long does it take if you do this comma delimited list at once and then remove the last comma, and then using the string builder technique. That code is already written, so I'll be doing just the user interface. And there was 4-5 rows, I think. And the default height was, I think, well, let's make that others automatic. Usually I'm working with a little bit more efficient computer. This is just from my home, the one we are using for web browsing. And then the grid has to have some columns. Oh. Definitions. Yep. End label missing, so copy and paste. Add /. Yep. I know many of you aren't going to write code when you are in business life or doing your work, but I think it would be educational to know how slow or fast this might be, or what the coders are doing behind the scene. Some people at my work love to do the user interfaces. Most don't love that much. They actually hate it and they ask, can you do it, please? Okay, that's nice. And we need labels. First label is always located at the top left corner at the index 0, 0. And it was loop count, I think. And then we need a text box, which is input field. Let's name it loop count. And it should be located after the loop count label, which is grid column 1. There it is. Because it contains nothing, it's a little bit narrow, so let's add some content to it. Or was it text? Some components use text attribute and others use content, depending on object. And what this does actually, it creates in code behind, it creates an object which is shown there, and the object, let's make the start project here, it creates all the things you need to do to make the user interface object behave nicely. And in old world, it took, you had to go through some list and attributes and do some nice things to make it do anything. And now you can enter some numbers, but it doesn't do anything. It has property list, and in the old Windows world, you had properties like this. Let's make it doc there. When you selected the component, it had lots of all kinds of properties which were just arranged in a list. And I don't think that's very readable or easy to use. So I like the way the XAML gives me freedom to do my writing. Also, instead of writing all this, I could use the toolbox and drag items from here, label in there, or in the grid, and it would add some properties in there, like location and column, and let's have some, row, grid row, one, content, normal loop, and then we need a little bit faster when we go and cut and paste. There's zero and there's grid column one. And let's align the text at the right. Horizontal alignment right. There it goes. And then at the two rows, yep. And then you get, just add the row, the second row, and third row. Yep. And then this one. And string builder, and then there is buttons needed. Let's have some content. Okay, run loops is at the wrong location. It's a little bit slow computer. Let's put it at the bottom right corner. Arrow keys are not where they are. Used to be at my normal keyboard. There's the run loop. And then we can create a code which runs. And this can be copy-pasted from the other project. Properties are not needed. What this code does is, it creates three stopwatches which start running, and let's, there's the error fixing. And request loop context box in the previous version and loop count in here. And then we need result text box names. Name for that. Forgot. Yep. Look, I think, yeah, and then the last text box label, sorry, with string builder result, and then let's find why it doesn't know where our looper is. The namespace is different. Here's the VBF demo. Save and check. Yeah. No red underlining, and it should run. And for the 1,000 iterations, let's put some breakpoint in here. Well, at the next line. It's string with question marks and commas 1,000 times and braces. This was done for SQL query to give parameters, and I recently ran across code where you need something like 200 parameters or sometimes 60, 100. And it's easier to do the parameter list to avoid SQL injection attacks to put parameters in. So that's what it does. It does that kind of string. And, well, I had breakpoint 42 seconds in there, so the counter was getting a little bit too much time in there. So depending on how you do your loop, it takes quite some time. Half of the time, if you're using technology 2 or less than that, if you're using string builder, it takes half minute or so with 100,000 items on the list. And this is not so important for this example for doing the parameter list. But when you are creating XML files in code, it's very important to know how you create it, because they are created bit by bit. You use one tag, and then you create another tag, and I have in recent years ran a few examples when system ran out of memory, when they tried to construct a XML file in a laborious way. Yeah, it's still stuck. My work computer, this was not a crazy task, but for this old computer, it is. It's still trying to do this one, and it takes some time. Okay. It takes like half a minute for the old slow method. When you remove the last comma, it takes half, like 15 seconds. And with the string builder, it takes like 9 milliseconds. So we can continue with the slides. That's how you do the user interface with XAML. I had in a demo just string builder button because it was so fast, it had zero all the time. And for those who weren't in the lecture, here's some XAML which is in the demo.
How long has been XAML out there? I mean, how many years has it been used for user?
Well, I don't actually remember. It's more than 5 years, but less than 10, I think, because yeah, you can check the Wikipedia when Microsoft introduced WPF 1.0. Blend is used designing user interface, but it's more useful for example, component customization. I was doing the library systems, and a woman next to me was doing the user interface styles and used customized all the components except button in Silverlight environment. They had bugs in them and they were not very usable. There were fields that were not editable, and when you change the styles, there were some bad corners and so on. And of course, you need your custom components when you're doing some work. You find out in a process, maybe label and input text box pairs, or actually there were a little bit more tricky items where she had a chance to do some real tough work. And one thing which I use Blend for is to get properties for each label if I want to customize it, or if I want to for example, in slider, if I want to make arrowhead in there, I have to deconstruct the whole elements, and then for the pointer, I replace the default rectangle with my own what it's called. I think it's one kind of freeform drawing item where you just set X and Y points and draw whatever you want. Triangle is trivial in that, but star and that kind of items are a little bit more challenging. Well, I was trying to, let's go to the slide so you can get it off your chest. XAML is one variant of XML, and so are the SOAP and XML you are going, and web services and JSON, and there are lots of different techniques which are like. So the actual name, if it's HTML5 or old HTML, doesn't matter. You have to just understand the structure and then put your time in it to learn it. So it's just like anything, like math. I don't like it, but if you do it long enough, you get the knack of it and you know how to do the basic math. Then choosing the right tools is essential, because as you noticed, when I was writing the user interface code, it showed what I, for example, if I'm adding a label, it shows what I can add. And then when the label is added, it shows all the attributes I can put in. For example, name, label has text? No.
It doesn't have text, it has content.
So that's why you should have the right tools to do it. Otherwise, if you are doing it with Notepad and you are rebuilding the project, it takes time to find the errors, and time is money, as usual. And the money isn't the point when you are coding. It's fun to do it right at the first time. It's tedious to debug something trivial like, well, you missed one question mark somewhere, or you missed some ending bracket. And using right tools, you can, it either fills all the missing details or it shows where the error is. And that XML, I think good relationship with XML was with my coworker at the Fifth Element. He was part of the committee which talks about DATEX standard, and they have a meeting at least once a year somewhere abroad. So 1 year he had a 3-day field trip. I think it was Athens in Greece, and 1 year it was Prague or something, somewhere in East Europe, and a few days there, and taxpayers pay, and all they did, they were sitting in lectures and trying to decide where this standard is going from here, and what new attributes we are trying to get in, what new message types we need to support, and then you really get the fun part if you get into that kind of thing. So it depends very much what you're doing in your project. But our project manager just needed to know that, oh, Mika knows all details about the standard in the future. So we can ask from him, our customer is using this this interface. When they need to buy our new interface if they want to communicate internationally. And project manager doesn't know the details, but he knows the guy who knows. And actually, at the management level, they just need to know about what the technology is doing at the higher level. When they are communicating, are they communicating with electricity meter and control system? Are there two banking modules communicating? Is there stock exchange? And what kind of messages are traveling through? Do we have the knowledge? Do we have the tools? Or should we buy from another partner that kind of knowledge? And you need both theory and practice in work. And what university gives is mostly theory. And you can get from the theory some grounds why things are doing way they are done. And from other institutions or people who have been learning by doing, they do as they see it fit. And sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad. And if they are following standards, it doesn't matter where they are coming from, or if they are trying to learn, it doesn't matter. But if you really want to, you get one step ahead. And I had something else to say, but any questions so far? I heard just one-third of you have been coding or is near to creating programs. I guess more of you which have stayed. Any questions about XML? Have you seen it outside this course? Not so much. I guess you can ask and Thursday.
Maybe a question: how many of you intend at some point to work with web services or use of interface design, at least to keep it as some kind of an option, or maybe you can raise your hand if you think about working in development.
If you are going to write any smartphone applications, if you are going to write any website software, outside data is usually coming with some kind of XML format. So that's good to know. And I've been working like 3 weeks at the Digia, and I found out that my supervisor, another Mika, was saying that they are trying to hire few trainees before the summer, if everything goes okay. So there is the Digia Career Compass. It's also mentioned in the tiny red tag you can get. I use it on my phone. When it's vibrating, it doesn't fall off the table, so it's okay for that too. When you are applying work, usually first thing they do, they ask how much work experience do you have. And most of the guys don't have any. But depending on what you have done and what you want to do is the key. So at the Digia, they are trying to get in people with right attitude, with enthusiasm, and people who want to learn and contribute something. Trainees and new guys are eager with shining eyes, and they want to know something, and they want to do things. And the old guys who have been doing it like 10 or 20 years, they are, yeah, okay, I've done that, okay, I can do it. But the enthusiasm isn't usually there. So that's why we need trainees, and you can get the experience. Actually, at my department, there are 2 trainees at the moment. They've been there like 2 months or so. So
can you maybe say some words about the job profile of the trainees?
One of them said that the first thing they had to do was replace one character, and it took them like 2 weeks to do that, because setting up the environment took about a week, and then to know about the code and ask what to do and where and how, it took almost second week, and using the processes we are using and code review, it took them 2 weeks. It was replacing one A character with A, so the dots were missing. Another guy was doing something with Oracle SQL queries or triggers, something he hadn't done before. So they found something which is small task, but one he can get into it and find out himself. So we have all kind of projects. We have our own products, which are sold to different banking system and financial system for FEM and Handelsbanken and SAP and so on. And then we have work which is done usually with senior software designers. Customers want new applications or more new features in existing applications, like we don't see this and that, or this magical figure is missing to analyze our markets. Can you add that? Yeah. And then, of course, there might be some fixed price projects which work. I don't know, how do you know? Customer usually says, we have this kind of project, it contains these requirements, and send us offer. How much does it cost if you do it? And what does your offer contain? And then those fixed prices are settled, and depending on some variables. Sometimes there's quality issue. Sometimes they are trying to find get additional points if there are experienced people with that area, with the technology and so on, they get more points, and the one who gets best points gets the project. Sometimes price matters, sometimes experience matters. And they are tedious jobs to do. But we have all three. That's it for today.
Any more questions on this? At least personally, I would like maybe still about this training. Is this something that you can combine to your studies, or is it like a full time already, or how does it? Do you know how the details of it?
I don't know details because you can negotiate. You can negotiate like, can I do it for until the Christmas for like 6 months or so, and then study next springtime? Usually they say that's okay. Or if you are doing it part-time, those guys are doing it full-time. And I think they are getting paychecks. It's not just a student allowance. Depending on your skills and negotiation skills, actually, after the training period, you can decide how much do you want from your job. When you are outside university or anything like that, you just ask for more pay, and you either get it or not, but you don't miss anything. Just ask, I think I need like 200 euros more. I'm more experienced than last year. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. We were waiting for you to ask. Oh, should I ask more? I don't know if the trainee job is just summer job or is it for regular job. You can ask. You can go to the website and, well, this is not connected to network. It's just Digia Career Compass with Google finds it. Or there was precise URL in here. Yeah, digia.com Career Compass.
Anything else? I mean, now it's a great opportunity. There's a developer here can tell about his job, but also about some job market. Anything you might have in your mind? But I guess you can also, later on, if there's some questions arising, you can maybe direct those to your way. Or
yes, and in New Vascular, there are a lot of companies, smaller and bigger companies. So actually, software development is very, well, there's a lot of developers with different companies, different profiles, so you have to know the business area, or you have to have some kind of enthusiasm for the business area if you want to get into it for like finance, or do you want to go for forest, electricity sector, do you like more for, let's see, library systems? Well, they're small company. Well, just decide. And apply. Thank you.
Okay, thanks everyone. See you on Thursday. The last session. Thanks, Jenny.